a second to get adjusted because little things bug me at times. I never looked at it as things for warfare, but I suppose after when I heard Alvin say that, I thought, you know, it is something that you will be able to use for our spiritual warfare. He asked me to preach. He asked me to preach on a day that we wouldn't be here. So he traded Jim Case and myself. And when he asked me, one of the thoughts that came into my mind was, is what can I give you all to use in your daily life? And I thought, and it didn't take long, and I feel like I got an answer, and I didn't have to struggle with it much because I thought, I've somewhat given this sermon a couple times, one of them here several years ago. It's not going to be exactly the same. And I've given a little bit of a study with the young people several years ago on it. What if today you took something with you that would help you in your relationships with your wives, your husbands, your co-workers, your friends, your enemies, whoever it may be that you come in contact with? What if that, what if the Lord could do that for you this day? Would you want something like that? Well, I hope so. I hope so. As I was putting this together and going over some of my old notes and stuff and picking and choosing what I wanted to bring forth this day, something that several of us probably received October 21st, 1998 across the CCEG from Joyce, and it came from Chicken Soup for the Soul. And I thought, how does that really fit in? Because it's called The Gossiper. But gossip's not a whole lot I'm going to talk about today. But what I am going to talk about today is our conversation and our speech, possibly the words we use. I don't know what commentary will come out of my mouth as yet. We'll find out. Anyway, I'll start out with this story. A woman repeated a bit of gossip about a neighbor. Within a few days, the whole community knew the story. The person it concerned was deeply hurt and offended. Later, the woman responsible for spreading the rumor learned that it was completely untrue. She was very sorry and went to a wise old sage to find out what she could do to repair the damage. "Go to the marketplace," he said, "and purchase a chicken and have it killed. Then on your way home, pluck its feathers and drop them one by one along the road." Although surprised by this advice, the woman did what she was told. The next day, the wise man said, "Now go and collect all those feathers you dropped yesterday and bring them back to me." The woman followed the same road, but to her dismay, the wind had blown the feathers all away. After searching for hours, she returned with only three in her hand. "You see," said the old sage, "it's easy to drop them, but it's impossible to get them back. So it is with gossip. It doesn't take much to spread a rumor, but once you do, you can never completely undo the wrong." Page 161 in the Book of Mormon. This will be the second book of Nephi, the 13th chapter. And it talks about baptism. There's a couple things in here that I'd like to hit upon. Just out of curiosity, a show of hands, how many here have been baptized? Oh, a whole bunch of us. Good. Start at verse 15 on page 161. "And also the voice of the Son of And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, He that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost like unto me. Wherefore follow me, and do the things which ye have seen me do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father, that you are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and Savior, down into the water according to his word, behold, then shall ye receive the Holy Ghost. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and then ye can speak with the tongue of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. But behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, After that you have repented of your sins and witnessed unto the Father that you are willing to keep my commandments, by the baptism of water, and have received the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and can speak with a new tongue, yea, even the tongue of angels, and after this should deny me, it would have been better for you that ye had not known me. And jump over to chapter 14, the first four verses. After we have been baptized with water and have been baptized with fire and received the Holy Ghost, it says that we can speak with the tongues of angels. And we need to strive to continually do that day in and day out. Verse 1 of chapter 14. Now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after ye have entered in by the way. But behold, why do you ponder these things in your hearts? Do you not remember that I said unto you that after ye had received the Holy Ghost, ye could speak with the tongue of angels? And now, how can ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. I feel like that's the tongue of angels, is speaking the words of Christ. And those of us that have been truly baptized, gone into the waters in the right way, we have received the Holy Ghost. It's a promise that's sure and true. So I think we need to foster that in our speech and use the Holy Ghost to help us to communicate with others. Verse 4, Wherefore I said unto you, Feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do. And I believe that's true. The Scriptures are full of the things that we should do in our life. We should be able to speak with the tongues of angels, or the tongue of angels, and speak the words of Christ. But I guess let me add a little side note here. How do you know what the words of Christ are if you don't study the Scriptures? It's a whole nother sermon I can go into. Fourth chapter of Ephesians. The things I'm bringing out today, they're not all of it that's in there concerning the topic of my sermon today. There's a few of them I thought I'd hit upon to help me out. Because I'm not always so good in my communication skills and in the words I choose in my speech. And I need help. And I need this sermon to go over and over in my head weekly, if not daily. Ephesians 4, start at verse 29. Make sure I don't get off track here. 29 through 32. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, he says, Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The edifying is a lifting up. In whatever manner that may be, I've been lifted up when I've been chastised. Have any of you been lifted up when you've been chastised? So it doesn't always have to be something that's good to you, I guess. It's good. That didn't come out the way I wanted it to. Chastisement can be good because it makes you look at yourself. So I feel like edification is not only a building up in good ways, but it also can be building up. That's a good way. I'm stumbling all over this one. Maybe I ought to go on. Edification is a building up in whatever manner the Lord chooses to do that. How's that? It says to put bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, to put it away with all malice, and that malice is ill will. You know, we need to get the ill will out of our hearts before we go and talk with people, especially if it's about a problem. The scriptures tell us to go talk to a brother. You know, if we've got an ought with a brother, it tells us to go to him and to talk to him about it. I mean, we use speech every day. We use words every day. But do we do it in the right way? And do we truly think about what's going to come out of our mouths? You know, are we tender-hearted and are we forgiving? Let's flip over to 1 Peter. First Peter, the third chapter. Verses 8 through 11. Peter here says, "Finally, be y'all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." What more can be said? He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Twelfth chapter of Matthew. Matthew 12, 31 through 37. This is Jesus speaking. And he says in verse 31, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto you, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." It sounds like to me it's pretty important to watch what you say. You can speak badly about Jesus, but it says here not to blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, or it won't be forgiven you here or nor in the afterlife. I think what he's telling me is I better watch what I say and what comes out of my mouth. And some more of the scriptures that I've got coming forth, we'll talk about some of that. Verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. We're known by the things that we do and the way we talk to people and where our hearts are at. Because where our hearts are at is how things come out of us. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I had to look this word idle up in the context that it's given here, because I'm not the quickest person in the world on thinking, and I thought, well, I know what it is when a car is an idol, but what's it mean when it's talking about idle words? So I looked it up in the Strong's, and it's in the Greek, and it's, if anybody wants to look at it, it's number 692. And it says inactive, unemployed. And it says by implication, lazy, useless. How many times do we use useless words that just go out, that spew out of us? They come out of our heart because we might be angry or frustrated. Because it talks about the things that come out of our mouth are actually in our hearts. So if things are coming out of you that you wouldn't like, maybe I need to look at my heart and see where it's at and see what needs to be fixed inside, so the things that come out are of edification to my brothers and sisters, edification to my wife and my children, to my workers, not my workers, but the people I work with. I believe each and every one of us here probably has to repent of the things we have said at times. I have. You know, there's a saying that says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt us. Want to bet? I'm not a betting man, but words have hurt me more than any beating I've ever taken in life. Any physical beating. And I'm sure that some of the things that have come out of my mouth have been hurtful to others. And when my conscience is pricked that I've done that, I try to do what the scriptures say and to go to that person one-on-one and ask them to forgive me. You know, not in a, well, I said it because of this. When I do that, when I ask for forgiveness, I'm trying to justify why I've done what I've done instead of just saying I was wrong and would you forgive me for it. You know, I've done it so many times that I feel like I'm getting pretty good at asking for forgiveness when I've opened my mouth in the wrong way. So I have to watch it. I have to watch what I say constantly. But what scares me is when it talks about that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account. They shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Because the words that we use will either be justified or that we'll be condemned by them. It scares me. And it should scare you also, I hope. 15th chapter of Matthew. In this chapter, Jesus is asked a question in verse 2. He says, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. And Jesus goes on into a parable, and he talks about that, and he asks them, why do their traditions transgress the commandments of God? And he talks about them honoring their father and their mothers. Then he goes down in verse 10, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. I'll jump over to verse 15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But these things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Once more, another example of where our heart should be at. And what's in our hearts comes out of us. Take one verse out of Colossians, the fourth chapter. Four and six. In a letter that Paul has sent to the Colossians, it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. You know, I think of seasoned with salt. Sometimes it makes food taste better. You know, do we season our speech? Do we think about bringing forth speech that is palatable? We might say, you know, we put salt on our food so it's, I think the word's palatable, so we can digest it, you know, eat it, get it down. Do we think about the things that we say to others that they might be able to digest it, you might say? You know, do we take the time to worry about what words we use and our body language that we use when we're talking to somebody? You know, you can say the same thing and you can have a face like this, or you can say the same thing and have a more pleasant demeanor, countenance. You can still speak the truth in love, even though it may not be the truth that you might be speaking. Might be the truth that someone wants to hear, but there are ways of doing it that won't put the person on the defense. I don't know about you guys, when somebody says something that puts me on the defense, I shut off my hearing. I mean, it's gone. Because now I'm worried about defending instead of listening to what the person has to say. You know, Jerry Katz thinking about this sermon I remember Jerry Case said, I don't know when, it's been years ago. But when you're in a conversation with somebody, how many times do we listen, really listen, or do we worry about when we can say what we want to say? And I thought, I do that. And I don't like it because I'm not listening to what they're telling me. I'm waiting for that opening so I can say, I got something I want to put in there. And I've missed what they've said to me. Because, of course, my ideas are better than theirs. Not really. When were you wondering when I was going to get to James? First chapter of James. When you think of James, a lot of times we think of what it says about administrating or that we lack wisdom. When I think of James, basically James tells me that I better watch my tongue and watch what I say. I like reading the book of James. For one reason is it's pretty blunt. And I like bluntness. I can understand bluntness. I guess for that reason I have a problem with Isaiah, because he puts in a lot of what I call flowery stuff that I have trouble weeding through. James 19 and 20. I think of Colossians, that verse I read when I read this. You know, that your speech might be seasoned with salt. Because in verse 19 of the first chapter of James, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." But I like the 19th verse, swift to hear, be ready to hear, be swift to hear. Listen to what they're talking to you about. I mean, really listen. If you don't understand what they're saying, ask. You know, when I talk, I want to be understood. Most people do. But then it says, be slow to speak. I think what James is talking about there is let our conversation be seasoned with salt. You know, it gives you time to engage your brain and not just letting things spew out of your mouth that may defile you. But also be slow to wrath. Because man's wrath, any wrath that we've ever put out, has it ever really been any good unless you feel like it's come from God? I don't think so. Verse 26 of the first chapter. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. We go out into the world, we're out in the world, and we profess to be Christians, but yet we don't watch what we say and how we say it. It gives Christianity a bad name. It's another one I have to watch. Because I have professed to be a Christian. And I have to watch what I say. Because my fleshliness can cut people to shreds with the things that I say. And I don't want it. But yet I've done it. No edification whatsoever in it. And it says here that if I can't bridle my own tongue, I deceive my own heart and my religion is vain. How can I be an example of Jesus Christ when I'm defiling myself with what comes out of my mouth? Third chapter of James. When I read this one, I think of this itty-bitty bridle that I can fit over my tongue and then I can guide it around. That's kind of the way my weird mind works at times. Third chapter of James, first 10 verses. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of force winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. There are times when I wish somebody would just come up and shut my trap. I let my speech get away from me. And it's not a very good example to those around me. It says here in the first part of this reading, verse 2, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. He's also able to bridle his whole body. Proverbs, 6th chapter. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, the six things that the Lord hates and the seven thing and seven an abomination. 6:16 of Proverbs, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and that soweth discord among the brethren. Now, I didn't go through here and count it, but it looks like to me it talks more than once about our speech and the things that come out of us. And these are things that the Lord hates. The 21st chapter of Proverbs in the 23rd verse. 21:23. Proverbs 21:23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Pretty plain and simple to me. Boy, I sure do like to keep my soul from trouble. Have you ever had your soul troubled? Now, who hasn't? Who hasn't had their soul troubled? Except maybe Anna, and she's not but a couple months old. Boy, if we could just learn to bridle that tongue and keep it in line, we'd keep our soul from trouble. Last verse I've got here, or the last couple verses I've got here to close up with, comes from the Book of Mormon on page 223. Second chapter of Mosiah. It's in King Benjamin. Mosiah 2, verses 48 through 50. King Benjamin says, and finally, maybe that's why I chose to close with it. And finally, I cannot tell you all the things whereby you may commit sin, for there are diverse ways and means, even so many that I cannot number them. But this much I can tell you, that if you do not watch yourselves and your thoughts and your words and your deeds, and observe to keep the commandments of God and continue in the faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your lives, ye must perish. And now, O man, remember and perish not. I hope I've given you some things to hang on to in your daily life. Some things to think about as we go throughout our lives on how to make things better with our brothers and sisters, things better with our spouses and our co-workers. Thank you.